Hi, everybody. Just to remind you once again that we're going to soon be one of the most watched news and information shows on the planet. Why? Because we are committed to context and we are committed to truth. In this edition, we are going to take you through the week's big events, some surprising ones like America's most established Jewish politician attacking the Israeli government and actually saying that Bibi Netanyahu, you got to go. Told him just like that. Some not surprising news, like when Russia's President Putin was reelected by a whopping 87% of the vote, and the media here and all throughout the West said, yeah, of course, he cheated. Those are just two of the big stories that we're going to be following for you. I'm Rick Sanchez. This is Direct Impact. Okay, we're going to start things off with Schumer. Frankly, I was surprised by this. I didn't see it coming. Netanyahu and Putin as well, but I want to begin by introducing you to our panel. Political scientist Dr. Wilmer Leon, political analyst Garland Nixon, both are hosts of the Critical Hour on Sputnik News. Do you like the way I did that with my voice, huh?
No, where
I crescendoed as I introduced you guys. Thank you very much. Let's get started with Schumer. Chuck Schumer, the highest-ranking Jewish American elected official in all of the United States of America. And this week, he has been going after Bibi Netanyahu, somewhat, you could say, almost with a vengeance. The fact that he's doing it is a vengeance. In fact, when Netanyahu asked if he could come this week to speak to Congress to prove Schumer wrong and to get close to his friends, Schumer said, no, you can't. I don't want you in Congress. You can't come here. You can't talk. Here's Schumer.
As a lifelong supporter of Israel, it has become clear to me the Netanyahu coalition no longer fits the needs of Israel after October 7th.
Garland Nixon, what do you make of that?
Well, this is a change in rhetoric, but it's not a change in policy. I think people are, that are concerned about what's going on in Gaza are seeking something that will show them that a policy has changed. Some concrete, we're not going to send this, we're going to do that. Some announcement by the Biden administration. This is just another rhetorical move to pacify the people that are angry. And I'll add this. I think that that they are prohibiting Netanyahu from coming here because they know there'll be massive people on the streets, there'll be angry people making a lot of noise, and they'll suffer as a result.
Do you think that Schumer was put up to this by the White House and maybe even specifically by the President of the United States because he did what the President can't do because the President's not Jewish? Did you follow that?
I did, and I don't think that it was the White House that put him up to it. I think there are other Israeli interests that put him up to it. And notice he did not call for a ceasefire. He did not call for an end to the genocide in Gaza. Mm-hmm. And I think Chuck Schumer has been served notice that Netanyahu is dead man walking as it relates to Israeli politics.
So the intel says only 14%, and this is true what I'm about to say, apparently only 14%, according to polls in Israel, say they want him to remain as the prime minister after the Gaza situation.
He's going to be indicted. And he's already been indicted, but he may very well be convicted. Huh. And so Biden and Schumer, they're not going to put their money.
You're saying, Rick Sanchez, don't look at this as a sign that the U.S. agenda or the U.S. policy in Israel is changing. They're throwing this guy under the bus, but it's not like they're throwing the policy under the bus.
Oh, absolutely. Garland's absolutely right. The policy hasn't changed. It's just the players, the pieces on the chessboard are being because look at it. And Schumer made the point about Netanyahu's
coalition.
Yeah.
And what did he have to do to make that coalition move farther to the right?
Yeah, and he still said, by the way, if you listen to Schumer's speech, which I carefully did because I happened to be on a plane, so I actually read it, and he says in there that it's a Jewish state and it has a right to defend itself, and he says all the other talking points in defense of what I think you were saying, Dr. Leon.
I think another thing that's important is that a letter has recently surfaced from a number of donors that was complaining. Basically, their complaint is that because of the pushback we're getting from the Democratic constituency, it looks like this could move Donald Trump in a position to win simply as a result, mainly and principally as a result of the policy. So again,
so you're saying AIPAC has a lot of money and they, from time to time, influence American elections? Is that what you're saying?
Just a little bit. But I think what we're seeing is there are other donors that are concerned. And I think these donors are concerned that they won't get the return on their investments. You know, they got a lot of money to be made.
Let me now remove my tongue from the side of my mouth as I continue with the next story. The Western media was beside itself after the presidential elections in Russia, the Putin election, as they called it, even though all polls, even Western polls, show that Putin is a very popular person. The media treated his win as if it was a personal insult to them that he won. Here's a sampling.
The outcome was never in doubt.
This may have been an election, but it certainly wasn't a contest. It was stage managed.
The Kremlin controls absolutely everything, including the elections. So what's the point of them?
Yeah, so what is the point of them? I guess I would point out, and you guys might or may not agree with me, that if you go with what they're accusing Putin of being, and that is somebody who essentially cheated electorally, I would add to you, I would remind you that President Biden was about fifth when he was elected president. He had Bernie in front of him, he had Elizabeth Warren, and we had Buttigieg in front of him, and somehow the party manipulated it so he would go to the top. So that's manipulation. And if you want to talk about authoritarianism, there's not one single person in the Republican Party who's afraid to take on Donald Trump because they're afraid it's going to hurt them. Who knows, personally, professionally, maybe even physically. You say what?
Well, I say, first of all, to those so-called commentators or pundits from the West that are talking about the election was rigged, where's the evidence of such? Please present some evidence.
Well, they would argue fairly that a lot of the people who take him on somehow either disappear, and I don't mean because they're killed or anything like that. Of course, Navalny's a different case. But I think that they would argue that usually his opposition loses strength somewhere along the way. And they say that's his fault.
And
I don't know how they make that argument.
So let's look at this. He won. It's the largest turnout in Putin's history.
Uh-huh.
So voter turnout is an indication of something.
Yeah.
He won with 86% of the vote,
mm-hmm.
and he had an approval rating of about, what, 74, 75?
Actually, in the 80s.
In the 80s.
Yeah, 82.
Well, okay. So when your turnout is high, when your approval rating is 86%, and you win by 86%, the data seems to tell me, call it in statistics, it's the statistically relevant correlation.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I think that's a fair point. And I think it's hard. It's funny. I made this point when I covered this story earlier this week. I said, I looked it up, and most of the Western pollsters, not Russian, not Kremlin pollsters, Western pollsters, most of them German, went in there, Statista went in there, and they're the ones who determined that basically he went up 9 points in the last year.
Well, in fact, the Levada Center, which is an organization that is funded, we learned from WikiLeaks cables that the Levada Center is funded by the national, the USAID, right? And National Endowment for Democracy.
Yeah.
Right, so it's funded by U.S. intelligence operations. You can go check the data right now. As of February, they had him with an 86% approval rating. So apparently, whatever shenanigans he used only got him another 1.2%.
And we probably should move on because we have a lot of stuff to talk about. But I will say this. I am mystified by why members of the U.S. media use... You could not like Putin. It's okay. You don't have to like people. You don't have to like the president of Venezuela or the president of Zimbabwe or the president of anything. But why it is that they follow the talking points that are given to them by the State Department? And you make a good point. Give me some facts. What can you say? Like you say he cheated. How did he cheat? Well, we don't say how he cheated. We just say he cheated, because the State Department says so. You got to look at yourself in the mirror at the end of the day and say, why am I just, what am I, a puppet?
Yes.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. I want to show you, because I think you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's no defense for just saying things without being able to prove them.
That is correct.
I want to show you one of the stories that, thanks to Julian Assange and WikiLeaks, we know a lot about. This is an attack in 2007. I want you guys to watch this now, where U.S. soldiers, they take out two Reuters photographers, and you may remember it, and then they laugh about it. And when the ambulances come to take these people out, these are reporters, really, photographers for Reuters, they shoot at the ambulance, acting all the while as if they're playing a video game. And they're joking about it and laughing about it. It's tough to listen to. I'm showing you this because there's word this week that there are talks to possibly free Julian Assange. Here it is.
He's got a weapon, too. Hotel 26, Crazy Horse 1-8, have 5 to 6 individuals with AK-47s.
Light them all up.
0-2 traffic, 260s.
Come on, fire.
Hey, Roger. Keep shooting.
God damn it, Kyle.
Sorry. I hit him.
Oh, yeah, look at those dead bastards. Come on, let us shoot.
You're engaged.
1-8, engage. Clear.
Come on.
We just drove over a body. Ha ha, ha ha, how funny. If not for Julian Assange, we don't know that those things happen. We should know that those things happen. Not because I want to praise Assange, not because I hate the United States, but because we need to be transparent, we need to be truthful, and we need to learn from our mistakes. How am I wrong?
Well, you're absolutely right. And it's the release of this video that is one of the key elements, which is why Julian Assange wound up being held up in the Ecuadorian embassy in London and why he's been in Belmarsh prison up to this time. Because those are what are known as war crimes. Mm. And that's direct evidence of the United States being involved in war crimes.
It's not against, it shouldn't be against the law to embarrass your country. I understand if he's giving out nuclear secrets or something like that, but he didn't do any of that. Basically, and the reason I do believe right now, I don't know what you guys think, the reason I believe right now that the White House, the Justice Department, may actually be considering doing a deal where they lower his charges to a misdemeanor is because there's a lot of pressure on the United States right now. Gaza, Ukraine, they don't need this guy coming over here in handcuffs and people like Rick Sanchez showing this video every day.
Yeah,
right?
Well, absolutely, I agree. Of course, there's the electoral issue. They have enough problems. The least they need to do is to put pressure on their people in the media, because their people in the media will be called out as to whether or not they're supporting another publisher. I think another important issue here is that within this case, there are some actions that the government that have taken, such as spying on the defense team, which, let's face it, if that gets to the Supreme Court, they're going to have a difficult time not throwing this out. Do they really want to take a case with as holes as big as this case has to the court?
Do I hear you saying you think that Assange's lawyers are onto something and they might have a breakthrough in this thing?
I think there are several.
They'll cut a deal with them.
I think there are several issues in this case that would make it difficult for the government to prosecute.
That would mean no extradition. Real quick, before we go to break, you agree?
Oh, I agree 100%. And the United States government does not want Julian Assange to set foot on American soil. They were hoping and praying that he died in Belmarsh prison. Because of, to what Garland articulated,
the optics.
The optics of it, and it's going to force Western media to deal with the realities that Donald Trump looked into having him assassinated when Mike Pompeo was the head of the CIA.
Wow.
They spied on his counsel.
You're thinking a lot of stuff is going to come out.
Lot of stuff.
Not exactly in defense of the First Amendment. Speaking of the First Amendment, when we come back, I'm going to tell you what some of the Supreme Court members are saying about freedom of speech. Maybe it's not that big a deal. Maybe we ought to move it aside because, after all, the government's interests come first. Or do they? You're going to hear it for yourself. Do not go away.
Welcome to Crosstalk Bullhorns. Here, we discuss some real news.
Hey, Hey, welcome back. I'm Rick Sanchez, along with Garland Nixon and Wilmer Leon. And I want to thank these gentlemen for joining us so we can have this illustrious conversation. Illustrious on your part. I'll do the best I can. all right. We were talking just a moment ago about the First Amendment of the United States of America. And something else happened this week having to do with the First Amendment. This week, the Supreme Court, whose job it is, by the way, to interpret and, in essence, defend the Constitution of the United States, actually made some comments that seemed to suggest that maybe it doesn't think all that much of the First Amendment of the Constitution. Here is Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson seeming to suggest that maybe we ought to push freedom of speech. You know, maybe it ain't that important in some cases.
So my biggest concern is that your view has the First Amendment hamstringing the government in significant ways in the most important time periods. I mean, what would you have the government do? I've heard you say a couple times that the government can post its own speech, but in my hypothetical, you know, kids, this is not safe, don't do it, is not going to get it done.
I'm a journalist. I was trained as a journalist. It's all I know. It's all I've ever done. And my jaw dropped when I listened to this. I want to hear which one of you guys want to take the first crack at this thing. What do you think?
Well, she's doing the job she's been sent there to do.
Huh?
The empire is in serious trouble. And, well, let me take a step back. The First Amendment, when she's talked about it hamstrings the government.
Yeah, she's saying, well, the government should have a right to supersede the First Amendment in a case like, for example, with vaccines, that people shouldn't have the right to go on social media and criticize vaccines, for example, because that hurts the government's message.
I don't know if she's ever read the First Amendment, because it starts by saying the government shall make no. That is hamstringing the. I've read the Constitution.
Thank
once
you
or twice,
very much.
Especially when I was in law
shall
school.
Shall make no law. It's
called a negative right.
Yeah.
Because it starts with the government shall make no law.
Uh-huh.
It's
an exclusive right.
It's protecting us against the government.
Right.
That's why it was written that
but
way.
She seems
Justice
to be,
Jackson.
But she seems to be saying, is Justice Jackson, that there have to be some cases where the government has to come in and make a law against the First Amendment.
Hence, you
I think
cannot,
that's what she's saying.
Hence, you cannot falsely cry fire in a crowded theater.
Yeah.
That issue was debated in 19.
And you can't publish the manuscript on how to make an atomic bomb. There are things, but not just because the government has an opinion that's different from the other people. We're taking up way too much of your time. Go, Garland.
Well, I think what we find out from her speech is who she represents, right? That's the point. Because clearly she's supposed to represent the people here.
Yeah.
The court is supposed to lean on behalf of the people, not on behalf of the government. She makes it clear that she's saying we've got to make sure that the government isn't hamstrung as the intent of the First Amendment is
there. In other words, tough luck, government. Yes, there will be times when people will say things that are awful and stupid and maybe even wrong. But in our system, the way we created this country, that has to stand. Sorry.
But
you
she
have a right to be stupid.
Right. But
and you have a right to be wrong.
Right. But as Wilmer said, she represents the ruling elite. She represents the government. So she's speaking for the people who put her in power.
And
sadly,
the empire is on the wane. And hence, that's what the whole TikTok thing is about.
Look, by the way, this thing we're talking about here, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but the legacy media, social media, same thing, right? You don't see any difference between the two. She doesn't have a point that we got to keep an eye on social media because it's getting out of hand.
But it's social media that's really bringing us to this point, which is hence WikiLeaks. The atrocities being committed by the government and the fallacies of the game are being exposed. Mm-hmm. And now the Supreme Court is turning to defend the empire as opposed to defending the people.
I like the way you put those two together. If I take a vacation, will you sit here and do this for me? Because you're
be
just as good, maybe better.
I'll be more than happy.
One of the things that I like to do on this show, especially given I have plenty of experience in this area, is to put the U.S. media in place, reminding them from time to time just how they're failing us, really. But if you think I get relentless with this topic, wait till you hear this dude named Jose Vega. This guy is running for Congress in New York. His name is Jose Vega. And when he found out that the distinguished executive directors and editors of the New York Times and the LA Times and the Washington Post were going to be having a conference there about journalism and how they cover story, this guy shows up and he just throws, he lets them have it. Here, watch.
Is there anything you've gotten right in the last 20 years, or am I mistaken about that? I mean, it's just kind of funny because Iraq, wrong. Syria, wrong. Russiagate, really wrong. Okay, I mean, the list goes on and on. So the last thing you could do to try and actually fix your reputation is acknowledge that through leaks, we had to find out that Zelensky was going to bomb Moscow on the anniversary. I mean, if you're so impartial, shouldn't you at least say, right, that Zelensky was going to bring us on the verge of World War III? The mainstream press is now dying. Nobody's ever going to listen to you again. You have no credibility with the public. The only people who care about what you have to say are elite assholes who have nothing productive to say anymore, and it's dying off. So will you at least say something, either about Nord Stream or Ukraine or the fact that Zelensky brought us to the verge of World War III, and the only reason we knew about that was through leaks?
I got to tell you, I've never seen anything quite like it. Ouch. And by the way, when he asked them to respond, they didn't. They ignored him. Garland, pick it up.
Well, you know, one of the things that he says is that it's dying on the, that mainstream media is dying on the vine. And we've seen lately massive layoffs all over the mainstream media. The bottom line is this. People are transferring their attention to alternative media, to shows such as this, to YouTube shows, et cetera, because they don't get the truth from that. People want, even if they don't
agree. And his facts were correct.
Right.
And
absolutely.
All these things he mentioned were true.
I notice in alternative media, people will listen to shows where they don't even ideologically agree with or align with the host, but at least they feel that the person's trying to be honest with them.
Yeah, they're trying to have a conversation. You agree?
I agree 100%. And mainstream made a huge mistake when they turned their newsrooms into profit centers.
Yeah.
And when they turn their news programs away from true journalism to lifestyle and entertainment. Mm. And they're not providing substance, and the minimal substance that they provide has no context. So, you know, we still, some people here still think that China sent a spy balloon over to this country when it was, in fact, a wayward weather balloon.
Speaking of China, something happened this week as well that I found was interesting. One, we found out that U.S. has troops now on an island that's just 3 miles from the coast of China, apparently there to protect and train the Taiwan military. Also, in Cuba, the U.S. sent teams, and there is one media account of the president of Cuba where he's saying, you guys have been interfering with our country now for the past 60 years. Here is the president of Cuba, Díaz-Canel.
Justificaciones y dándole la vuelta a las cosas. Lo más absurdo es que nos hayan aplicado un bloqueo criminal durante más de 65 años. Eso es lo absurdo. Y esa, la absurdidad de ese bloqueo es la que ha provocado todas las otras reacciones de las cosas que pasan.
He says, look, bottom line is the only reason we've got this situation in Cuba is because the United States has had an embargo on us now for 60 years. I never thought I would put China and Cuba in the same sentence with Taiwan in the middle, but that seemed to be the story this week. U.S. interference, U.S. interference, U.S. interference, right?
You can add Nicaragua, you can add Venezuela, mm-hmm. you can add Peru, you can add Brazil. Mm-hmm. And Haiti. You got to put Haiti in the mix. Because, again, the folks that have been victimized by American imperialism have now been throwing out the neoliberal American puppet governments that were in place, and they've been installing their own socialist-leaning governments, and the United States, under no circumstances, is going to tolerate that shift in the global dynamic.
Well, I don't know if China is going to tolerate U.S. soldiers, as we learned this week, in off the 3 miles off of their coast. That's, I mean, I have to ask, are we trying to start World War III?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think that we have an unhinged group of neocons in the Biden administration, and they're setting fires all over the world. And right now, anytime there's a provocative act that they can take against China, they're doing it. I personally think that the Biden administration sees the provocations towards China as a way to try to attract, you know what they're always doing? They're trying to attract conservative votes, which they won't attract. And they're taking just unreasonable chances. But I will say this. I do believe that the leaders in the global majority, the leader of China, the leaders of Russia, are wise enough to usher in a new multipolar world and keep the hotheads at bay in Washington, D.C. I think they're smart enough to do it.
The global South is certainly gaining strength and momentum, and I think that's going to create a little bit of a power balance. And that may not be such a bad thing, by the way.
The United States is basically doing it to itself, because the actions it's taking are forcing these countries to establish relationships that they otherwise might not have established.
That's actually a very good point. Dr. Wilmer Leon, Garland Nixon, my thanks to both of you for being with us. And that's the end of this. Once again, before we go, I want to remind you of our mission. It's simple, as you can probably tell. We try not to live in boxes around here, not just in a place where people all agree with me. Truths don't live in boxes, neither do we. The truth is everywhere. I'm Rick Sanchez. I'll be looking for you again right here, where I hope to provide a direct impact.